Can I thank you for the privilege and opportunity that you have afforded me as a church to come once again and open up the Word of God with you. And I earnestly pray that God will bless His Word as we would read it and meditate upon it. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the 16th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I want to read some verses from the Word of God here, verse number 19. And I pray that the Spirit of God will just take of this Word that God has given to me, and that God will help me to preach it. Glorify the Savior's name as we open the Scriptures together. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send them to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible word for his name's sake. Amen. In the book of Luke's Gospel, you'll find that the Scriptures tell us of three pair of men. We find indeed the two men in life. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, one was the Pharisee and the other was the publican. Do you remember that one was condemned and the other was justified? And then in Luke's Gospel, we have two men in death. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we read of the two thieves on the cross, one on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. One repented and was saved. The other railed on Christ and was lost. And then in the 16th chapter, we come to two men in eternity. And we find that one was comforted, one was tormented. God has laid a message on my heart this evening that I've got to tell you and preach to you. Friends, it's not an easy message, because it's a message of the end of a life of sin, a Christless hell. And men and women who live without Christ and die without Christ The Lord Jesus says, you shall die in your sin, and where I am, you can't come. Then where do they go? If they do not go to be with Christ, then the question is, where do they go? And the answer is, they go to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he looked upon the crowd, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. When he stood over the city of Jerusalem and looked upon it, Jesus wept. Those beady drops, scorching tears, ran down the face of Christ as his heart was broken for rejecting people. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry here, he warned more and preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And one therefore asks the question, why is it that the pulpits are silent? Why is it that the preachers no longer want to mention the place where the ungodly and the Christ rejecter go? Why is it that the preachers no longer want to tell the sinners that the wages of their sin, the Word of God says, is death, and that is eternal death? Yes, God is love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God is holy. And God is just. And a holy and a just God must punish unpardoned sin, just as a God of love will forgive those who confess their sins and put them under the blood of Christ. Many make light of hell, friend. And I know that some worldly entertainers might find that that's the butt of the joke. And to his audience, he may get a laugh. But hell's no joke. It's the end of a life of sin. And I'll tell you how serious it is. For someone tonight in this meeting could be just a matter of minutes or moments from hell itself. David said these words, "There is but a step between me and death." Tell me, how long is a step, friend? The man steps out and he takes that long step. The teenager takes that step of his youth. The young lady takes a step, but it's shorter. But what about the little child that takes its first little baby step? And David said this, "There is but a step between me and death." Tell me, how long do you think that is for you? And then John on the Isle of Patmos, as God gave him the vision in Revelation chapter 6 verse 8, it says, "And I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death." And then it says this, "And hell followed with him." The rider on the horse was death. And hell followed with him. Friend, tonight you could be just a heartbeat away. Dear unconverted man or woman, you could be a heartbeat away from a lost eternity. And therefore I beg you in God's precious name, listen to what the Word of God has got to say about the end of your life, friend.
Man dieth and wasteth away, the scripture says, and man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Listen, unsaved man, if you want to die in your sin, then let me tell you where you're going. The Word of God calls it hell. You know, the atheist denies the existence of heaven or of life after death. Of heaven and of hell. The Jehovah Witnesses, they believe that the grave is hell. The Mormons, they believe in hell, but he believes that in the end everyone will be saved, even those in hell. Many speak of annihilation. They speak of purgatory. You see, my friend, the devil would want you to be so confused about your eternal destiny. The devil does not want you to know and understand the simple declaration of the Word of God. For let me make it clear tonight. The Word of God is absolutely clear. There is a heaven for the saved, and there is a hell for the lost. And there's nothing in between. And you're one on the road tonight to one of those two places. The Lord Jesus Christ was very clear about what comes after death. The Word of God tells us that every one of us will exist for all eternity. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear that every one of us need to get ready to meet God, for Amos cries out, prepare to meet thy God. Get ready for the day when you'll meet God. The Word of God is clear that when we die, friend, our eternal state is sealed. The Word of God is clear that when we die, we go to the place we are ready for, the saved, to the mansions of heaven, and those who are unsaved, to the miseries of hell. And the Word of God shows us in this passage of Luke chapter 16, two men. They were different in their lives. They were different in their deaths. They were different for all eternity. And yet, friend, while it's true that these two men contrast each other, there's something the Word of God makes abundantly clear about the both of them that brings them on the same level, for it tells us that they both have to die. And I don't care who you are tonight, and I don't care what you own, and I don't care what earthly possessions, I don't care what you can boast of as regards of earthly standing or positions as far as the world is concerned. Let me tell you this, the queen on the throne will lie down in death the same way as the pauper on the street. And the amazing thing is this, that when we're all being carried out in death, we're all carried on the same level. It might be on a higher shoulder than others. I want to tell you, you're in the broad of your back. For we all must needs die. I read a preacher one time who said this. The contrast of these two men, they were contrasting in their earthly experience. Because one lived a bountiful life and the other lived a burdened life. They contrasted in their exit experience, because one man died alone and the other died attended and escorted by the angels. There was a contrast in their eternal experience, because one found pain eternally, tormented in hell, and the other found peace in the presence of God. And yet, whilst there were differences and contrasts, look at verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. You know, it's no wonder that this beggar dies whenever you think about his ulcerated body, his disease, his deprivation in life, covered in sores and hungry. In actual fact, the Bible tells us that he was laid at the rich man's gate, and the word's an interesting word, laid, because the word simply means thrown or cast down. Contemptuously, whoever it was that brought that man to the spot there to beg for his food, they just threw him down, friend, they just cast him down with contempt at the gate of the rich man to beg for food. And the only pity he ever received was, the Bible says, the dogs came and they licked his sore. But the Bible goes on to say, the rich man also died. You see, your pockets might be full, friend, but you've got to go. The world may hold you in position and laud and applaud you, but you have to go. The rich man also died. I tell you, if money could have kept death away, he never would have died. But the word of God says the rich man died and was buried. There was no mention of a burial. Because let me tell you, friend, it doesn't really matter what happens to this old body of mine. Thank God, when I close my eyes in death, it will be absent from this body. The real me, the soul and spirit of man, will leave that body. Absent from that body and present of the Lord. And whilst the old beggar, there's no burial for him, but he was escorted into the presence of Abraham. But the rich man also died and he was buried. Oh, I can hear the preacher talk about him, how wonderful a person he was and what he had done for the community. And how he had given sacrificially. I can see the elaborate funeral arrangements and funeral procession. But friend, it just simply says he died and was buried. And then it says this. Look at the next words. Verse 23. And in hell. I'll tell you, the preacher didn't say that at his funeral. But God did. Then let me tell you this. It does not matter what the preacher says at your funeral service. You're already in your eternal destiny. If you're saved, you'll be in heaven. If you're unsaved, you'll be in hell. And it will not matter a word of what he says at your funeral procession. And it will not matter whether the church is full or empty. Because I'll guarantee the church is full that day. And God says, I'm in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You know, sometimes the preacher is asked the question by family, preacher, tell me, where's mommy gone to? And they want the preacher somehow to make it sure that they're in heaven. Let me tell you, friend, it's not the preacher that settles that. That's between you and God. And you go to where you're ready for. And if you're not saved, if you're not under the blood of Christ, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, I'll tell you this, as sure as there's a God in heaven, through the gates of heaven you'll never go. But God will write your obituary. God will preach your funeral service, and God will say, and in hell. Remember some years ago, there was a young, lovely young UDR man who died in our community where I was reared at home. I remember well, I would have grown up with this young fella around the same time as this young lad was growing up when he was shot one night. Was taken out into God's eternity. Remember, he was buried on a Sunday afternoon. Never forget it. The crowds of people that were gathered around there. Friend, I remember very well after the service was over and we went to the graveside. And the sunshine was shining in the heavens. And I remember standing in that graveyard. And I remember the aunt of that young fellow coming up to me. And she knew me, for I grew up there with her and her nephew as well. And she said to me these words. She says, "Tell me, William, where is he?" She's crying. To be honest before God, friend, I did not know of him ever being saved. But I'm not the settler of destinies. And I remember saying, "I honestly don't know, dear. But I know that if he was saved, he's in heaven." And I never forget her words. And the tears were running down her cheeks. And she looked me straight in the face and she said these words, "William, if I thought he was in hell, if I thought he was in hell, I would go mad. I'd go mad." And I must confess, I looked at her. I never spoke a word. Put my arms around her. But I did think this thought. I wonder how many tears you said over him when he was alive. I wonder how many times did you tell him he needed to be saved while it was a day of opportunity. I wonder how many times you prayed for him. You see, friend, she was crying. And she was standing in the graveside and she was sincere. She says, "If I thought he was in hell, I'd go mad." And she was shaking from head to toe. Let me tell you, friend, I can't say anything other than what my Master said, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, if you die in your sin, he says, "Where I am, ye cannot come." God serves the exclusion order. And friend, God means it. You cannot! You will never be in heaven without Jesus, friend. You will never be through the pearly gates except you're born again of the Spirit of God, except you've come as a sinner to Christ. And the Lord Jesus said this, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He said to me, "Preacher, tell me, what's the place like that I'm going to? I'm not saved. Tell me, where's my destination?" I'll tell you, the first thought is this, friend. Hell's a place of terrifying reality. And notice what I said this. I said hell is a place of terrifying reality. You know, some people have got this idea, you see, that hell's not a place. Oh yes, they want to say, "Oh yes, I believe heaven's a place." Well, let me test it for a moment. Who said that heaven was a place? John chapter 14, you say, "Preacher, didn't the Lord Jesus Christ say, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare," what? A place for you. So you haven't a doubt that heaven is a place, that there is a real place where the people of God are for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to take his word. Well, let's just read what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, and he records in this passage of God's Word. And as the Lord Jesus records, go down to verse number 28, and he says this. The rich man cries in hell. He says, "I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them." Now mark this. "Lest they also come into this," what? "Place." This place of torment.
Friend, do you say you believe the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of Christ? This is the record of Christ concerning this man's destiny for all eternity. He was in a place of torment, but it was a place of terrifying reality. I don't know whether this rich man believed in life after death when he was here upon this earth, but I'll tell you this. He certainly found out it was real. And I don't know whether you believe in or not, friend. I don't know whether you're listening to the devil's lies instead of receiving the Word of God. But I want to tell you, as sure as there's a heaven for the saved, there is a place called hell for those that are unsaved. The eternal destiny of the soul of the man or woman without Jesus Christ. And your unbelief will not take away the reality. You blinding your eyes to what God says in His precious Word won't dim the reality that God is saying. Notice what it says. He lifted up His eyes. He saw like he never saw before, friend. He realized like he never realized before. This hell's real. It's a real place. It's a place of terrifying reality. For the first time in his life, he steps out into God's eternity and now in the lost beyond, he sees, I'm lost. I'll never forget a little girl on the 12th of July in Makarrah. I can still see the wee lassie. She went up to the ice cream man. And she'd got an ice cream, and Mommy had got her an ice cream. And the wee lassie was licking away at the ice cream, and Mommy went that way. And she was engrossing her ice cream, and the wee lassie went that way. And she was engrossing her ice cream, and the two of them went the opposite direction. And all of a sudden, the little girl standing there licking that ice cream thing, just all of a sudden, she looked around, she was caught just about to say, Mommy, and she realized that Mommy's not here. And the wee girl was seized with fear. And I remember just standing there, I just witnessed in front of my eyes, this big, strong, burly, big policeman walked over, and he stooped down and he says, Darling, what's wrong? And the wee girl was crying. Her tears were running down her cheeks, and she says, Please, sir, I'm lost. I've lost my mammy. Let me tell you, those tears are real. There's nothing fake in it. For that wee girl realized something. She was lost. And you can imagine the crowds in that demonstration day. The crowds were all around. But let me tell you, this wee girl was just standing there, all alone, lost. Dear sinner, I want to say this in God's name. You die in your sin and go to that place called hell. You'll stand all alone. In the flames of a Christless, black and dark eternity, and you'll realize, oh God, I'm lost. You've come to gospel meetings, you've heard the preacher say Jesus came to seek and to save them that were lost, but you see, friend, that meant nothing to you, because you see, you weren't lost. Oh no, not you. That's all right for somebody else, but not you. Church going you, clean living you, upright you. And I fear that some will die in their sin from Balamoney, and the first time they'll open their eyes and realize, oh God, I'm lost, it's when they're in hell. And there's no way back. A place of terrifying reality. Secondly, when I look at this passage of God's Word, it's a place of unanswered prayer. Did you notice in this passage of God's Word, there were three prayers that the man in hell prayed. Did you notice that? Was he ever at a prayer meeting in his life? Did he ever bow the knee in prayer and really pray to God before? I want to tell you this, my friend. This man, he may not have time to spend time with God, but oh, he's praying now, all right. He offers three prayers. Notice it. It says there in verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The first prayer was a prayer for relief. He cried. Never read that before in the story about him. Oh yes, the Bible tells us about the beggar Lazarus. He used to lie at the gate and he was hungry and he would cry out and he would beg and he said, please, give me even the crumbs from your table. Didn't we say the rich man crying? No, he had everything. He didn't need to cry. He had got everything that money can buy. I tell you, my friend, there are things money can't buy. And here we find he cries. He's dead earnest. And what's he crying about, friend? Why is he crying in hell? Have you ever thought about how much crying there is in the Christless hell, friend, that you and I can't hear? But if you die without Christ, you will. You will hear it. You die without Jesus, young man. You die without Jesus, mom or dad. And you die and you go to hell. I want to tell you, you'll hear the crying and your voice will join in. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, here's the awful lament, friend. He said, have mercy on me. He cried for mercy. You notice what he didn't cry. He didn't cry to be released. Do you know why? Because he knew that there was no escape from the prison house of hell. But he cried for mercy. You know, when I read that passage of God's word and I heard the cry of that rich man, listen, pity he didn't cry whenever he was in time. But he didn't cry for mercy when he was in the day of opportunity, in the day of grace. We never cried for mercy when he was here upon this earth, but now when it's too late, he cries out, oh God, be merciful! You see, if he had prayed that prayer in time, friend, God would have answered it. Do you remember the publican? In the scriptures. And he went into the house of the Lord and he smote his breast and he couldn't even look to heaven. He was so ashamed of his sin, but he bowed his head and what did he cry? He said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And the Bible says he went down just as if he never had sinned. God forgave him. God gave him mercy. But this man didn't cry for it in time, friend. He seeks it when it's too late. That's why the word of God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. He says, call ye upon him while he's near. Tell me, will you seek the Lord? Will you cry out for mercy when it's too late? Then shall they call, but I'll not answer. Then shall they seek me, but he says, I will not hear. God says, I will laugh at their calamity. He says, I will mock when their fear comes. Oh, you would have none of my reproof. I stretched out my hand. You cast it aside. You didn't regard it. I called, but you wouldn't answer. And now in the depths of hell, he cries, have mercy on me. And then notice what he says this.
He says, have mercy. Send who? Lazarus? When did he ever mention that name before? Well, he had no time for Lazarus. When Lazarus was lying at his gate begging and crying out for food and crying out for some sustenance, even the crumbs which fell from his table, he wouldn't even give them to him. He had no time. But now he's crying, send Lazarus. We found out who Lazarus is now. He's not that old, dirty, stinking wretch of an ulcerated, decaying body that was lying at his gate. No, friend, he knew that Lazarus, that he died, that the angels escorted him. Send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger, the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. Do you know what he found out? He found out, friend, that a drop of water in hell was precious. That's what he found out. And I'll tell you this. You say, what does that mean to me? I'll tell you this. You have cast aside the gospel that you have heard so many times. You have ignored the preaching of the cross. You have walked over that gospel tract when somebody handed it to you and you laughed at those fools, the Christian. I'll tell you, you die in your sin and I'll tell you that tract will be precious. You would to God that somebody was handing it out again. You laughed at the people of God who come to the place of prayer. But I'll tell you this, you'll wish that you had the opportunity of going to the place of prayer with them. See, that person that witnessed you to you and begged you to come to Christ, you would to God, friend, I'll tell you this, that you had one more opportunity for that person you would beg, just as this man said, Lazarus! And he would dip the tip of his finger in water. And cool my tongue. If only I had another opportunity. But the answer from God was, nay. Remember some years ago there was a wee man lived down outside Ballaghy. And I remember going into the intensive care ward of the Midulster Hospital. I know he's lying there in the intensive care and they were going to move him to Belfast shortly before he died. And I remember going to his bedside and sitting beside it and the wee man was lying gasping and he said to me, he says, please, Mr. McCrae, could I not get a sup of water? They won't give me any water. I'm choking. I'm so dry. I remember going up to the sister in the ward and she was busy and there was a wee nurse and I called her down to her and I said, excuse me dear, this wee man here is begging for a glass of water. She said, Mr. McCrae, I couldn't give it to him. I can't give it to him. We're not allowed to give him any fluids. And he looked up and he begged her. She said, I beg you, please. Just give me some water. And she says, the best I can do. And she just lifted up a wee tumbler. And she took a spoon. And she put a wee drop of water at the end of the spoon. And she says, that's all I can give you. She says, my job's not worth to give you more. And she put that wee taste of water just into his lips. And this is what he said to me. He says, Mr. McCrae, I would gladly give my wee farm for a glass of cold water. And as I stand beside my thought, what must it be to get hell? But that wee man was saved.
But he would gladly give his wee farm for a glass of cold water. So dry. And the rich man cried out in hell, even the tip of his finger in water. But even cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Friend, this is Jesus talking. This is not some preacher. This is the Savior. The Lord Jesus says here, there's a great gulf fixed. There's no one can pass to you to help you. And you certainly can't come to them. It's a place of unanswered prayer. But very quickly, friend, listen. He not only prayed for relief, the second thing he prayed for his relatives. A man in hell with a burden. As many of God's people go to the prayer meeting without a burden for their loved ones. Look what he said. He said, verse 27, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send them. Send who? Here's Lazarus. You see, Lazarus is now on his mind. He says, send Lazarus. Send them to my father's house. For I have five brethren. And what did he want him to do? He said that he might testify unto them. I want him to give his testimony. He never wanted to hear a testimony before. When he saw a man standing on the street corner giving his testimony, how many have walked on by and put their nose up into the air and sneered at them? What a fool. Here's a man in hell and he says, send them to my brothers. I've got five of them. And I want them to testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You see, friend, he realized there was no relief for him. And now his heart was broken for his relatives. Oh, Father Abram, send them. Send Lazarus. And I want him to testify to my brothers. Tell them, beg them, don't come to hell. Don't come to the torment that I'm in. I wonder how many times he had time for the preacher when he was alive. I wonder how many testimony meetings did he go to when he was alive. But now he wants Lazarus to go and warn them. You know what he's saying? Warn them what lies ahead on the road they're traveling. They're going to hell. One in hell and five on the way. I wonder tonight how many testimonies have you heard? I wonder how many times you have listened to faithful gospel preaching. How many times have you sat in gospel meetings? How many times have you heard the glad news of the gospel of the grace of God, friend, and you've walked away? How many messages of warning have you spurned? And yet you turned your back on God. Listen to what the answer was. They have Moses and the prophets. What is that? You remember on the day of a road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to his disciples and he opened up Moses and the prophets. And he spake all things concerning
himself. There's the scripture. They've got the scriptures. They've got the word. And friends, so have you. We're reading it tonight. You're listening tonight. God's given you the opportunity. I went to God, says this man. I went to God, I have this opportunity, but I'm lost. Tell the brothers, beg them for me. Don't come to the place of torments. You see, friend, it wasn't Lazarus they needed. It was Christ. Let me tell you, it's Jesus you need tonight. It's only the Lord Jesus can save you. It's only the Lord Jesus can pardon you. The unanswered prayer, God again said, "Nay." And then he prayed a third time. Look at verse 30. Nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, now listen to this carefully, they will repent. Listen to it. Do you realize what's been said here? This man went to hell knowing that he needed to repent. He knew the gospel. He knew what Jesus said. He knew the word. It was written on his heart. He had heard it. Perhaps as a child. He knew the truth. The first message that Christ ever spoke. The first word of his message is, repent ye. John the Baptist, except ye repent. Peter, repent and be converted. And here's a man down in hell, friend. And he says, but if one rise from the dead, they will repent. Well, here you are in the service, and God's given you the opportunity to repent tonight. Except you repent, he says, you'll perish. It is the place of unanswered prayer. It's a place of tormenting memory. Look at verse 25. And Abram said, son, remember. You'll remember every gospel opportunity that God ever gave you that you spurned. You remember the very meetings that you sat and trembled in. You remember, like Agrippa, you sat and you were almost persuaded. You remember the old hymns they sang. Maybe at a mother's knee you can still hear her sing it. Of amazing grace. You'll remember a mother's prayer. You'll remember a faithful child of God's pleas. Son, remember. What an awful tormenting memory it might have been. It might have been. Lastly, it's a place of hopelessness. Look at verse 26. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Fixed. When you die in your sin and go to hell, friend, you're there forever. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. There is no way back. The hope's a wonderful thing. You know, if you're sick, you hope to get better. If you're weak, and somebody says, well, how are you? You say, I'm weak, but I hope to gain strength. If your business is bad, you hope it will improve. If things are gloomy all around you, Somehow you hope that they'll cheer up. And there'll be the breaking of the day. But down in hell, friend, no hope. Ye who enter here, leave all hope behind. What an awful tragedy. Let me ask you a question. If God Almighty was to call you, or does call you tonight, tell me, where are you going? Heaven? Or is it hell? You say, preacher, I hope to get to heaven. Let me tell you, friend, you've got to be sure you're going to heaven. The only way to be sure is this. Come as a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner to Jesus. And find God, He'll save you for all eternity. May God save you from a Christless hell. May you run to Christ tonight for salvation. For Jesus' sake.